two roads diverge, taking the road to March less traveled, from perfect games to those that unravel. It wouldn't be March without the madness. It is the seasons of makes, misses, and the mellow fruitlessness. Some teams go to the second weekend, advancing to a Sweet 16. The thrill of victory so sweet, the agony of loss so mean. But it is better to have loved and lost than not loved at all. Big time upsets, easy defeats, all centered around college basketball. Some teams cut down nets, others suffer defeat. On the court, warriors spread their dreams under their feet. Tread softly because you tread on my dreams. Maize blue, green, white are the color of our teams. We have all the college basketball analysts you can handle on the other side.
Beautiful. This is the Paul's Onion Podcast, everybody.
Just remember, five comes before the fall.
We have four Michigan basketball games to cover, and the first one was one I was actually in attendance for. It was Michigan against Northwestern at Chrysler. The game started off with Michigan jumping off to a big lead. I think they started off 8-0, 10-0. Northwestern came back and even grabbed the lead for a bit. It was a very unusual game. The point, I believe Northwestern called the timeout when Michigan was up at 18-6 and was 5.5 minutes in. It might have been actually the under four timeout. But at that point, Michigan became turnover happy and Northwestern capitalized, though in the early going, it was slow. But Northwestern, the second part of the first half, definitely got their offense together. It's kind of strange because overall this year, Michigan's been one of the better teams when it comes to limiting turnovers. But they met their match because if you look at Northwestern's numbers, their defense is all predicated on turnovers, and they're one of the best teams in the company in the country when it comes to forcing turnovers.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. It looked like you had something to say. Sorry, Joe.
No, I was just looking at the turnover numbers after you pointed them out. 18 turnovers. That's like a Michigan State game.
Yeah, and we'll get to it later. But against Purdue, Michigan had 6 turnovers.
Right.
And so there's been.
It's an outlier performance for them.
It was. Near the end of the first half, Northwestern had actually built their lead 39-33. And I'm doing the math in my head at this point. Okay, if Michigan was up 18-6, they're now down 39-33. That means Northwestern's on a 33-15 run. And it definitely felt like it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Northwestern ended up getting going, but the first part was very slowly. The Michigan's turning it over. They're not scoring, but Northwestern on the other end's only like scoring on 40% of their basket. Yeah, it was like watching yourself die a slow death.
Those are the worst. And just to interject real quick, Northwestern right now is 15-5 overall. People might not know that Northwestern actually has a good, like a, I mean, they had two games postponed because of COVID, the old COVID break. But today they just beat Minnesota by 20, which isn't that great of a win. But you look at it.
No, it's not bad.
It's not bad. But they have wins at Michigan State, at Indiana. They beat Illinois head-to-head. And this is a Northwestern team that if they have a couple, like one or two more big wins, they could be on the bubble. Pushing for March Madness.
Oh, yeah, I definitely consider them a possible tourney team. But I also consider about 8, 9, 10 teams in the Big Ten on the bubble or close to it. And, like, you know, seven or eight of them are going to get in, and then the other one's going to be Purdue. Maybe right. I take Rutgers off the bubble and put them solidly in. But, you know, like Illinois is a 9 seed right now.
And, yeah.
But what I was going to say is – I actually thought this was a good win for Michigan. I get into it, even though they were turning the ball over, I actually thought they shot the ball well. It's a good one to beat Northwestern at Chrysler. Now, if Michigan went to Evanston and beat Northwestern at home, now that's a really good win.
Yeah.
That's how I consider it. And that's how I kind of look at the Big Ten this year. There's a lot of teams, if you beat at home and your home court, it's a nice win. Yeah. But then if you beat them on their court, and I bet you it's probably the difference between a quad two and a quad one win too for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Before the half, Michigan had a nice couple possessions, and then like that, it was 39-37. They were only down two at the midway point. Did not like the first 2 minutes of the second half. The Wildcats got off to a quick start, but Michigan did fight back. But Terrence Williams did not box out on a free throw, which allowed Northwestern to get their own rebound. And like then they were starting to push their lead. But for most of the rest of the second half, power forward duties were split between Shutter and Reed. And I really like what I've seen out of those guys. And I think it's obviously they've had the better season so far than Williams, even though they get a lot less minutes. Anyways, Michigan kind of went on a run after giving up the lead to Northwestern. And after it was Kobe Bufkin hit a three, and then Northwestern was forced to call a timeout. Michigan up 52-49. Boo Booey had 22 points in the game. And his basket put Northwestern up 59-58. And at that point, there was over 10 minutes left to play. And that would be the last time Northwestern would have the lead. Northwestern struggled to stop Michigan from scoring. Anytime they did, it felt like they were forcing a turnover. But if they didn't force a turnover, it felt like Michigan was scoring. Michigan kind of had a 2-3 possession lead for the rest of the game. They had four players in double figures. Kobe Bufkin with 20 points on 9 of 11 shooting. Like I said, Michigan shot really well. That might be Kobe Bufkin's best game.
Efficient shooting.
You know, and he was 2 of 3 from 3. Doug McDaniel had 17 and played the most minutes with 37. He was a little bit less efficient. He also was the reason for some of those turnovers, but
yeah,
he's a freshman.
That naturally comes with point guard play.
It does. He's also – he plays so much better at Chrysler. Him, Bufkin, and Jet, the young guys.
Yeah. Yeah, Michigan shot almost 52% from the floor, 29 of 56, and then 17 of 24 from the free throw line. So really, really effective night. I mean, free throw shooting could have been better, but
if you take out that
a lot of those misses were from Dickinson. He went 2 for 7 from the line.
And if you take out that six minute period in the first half, I bet you like that shooting would have been like in the 60s.
Yeah,
they went cold for a bit. And Dickinson traditionally is closer to a 70-75% free throw shooter, so that was an outlier for him. Terrace Reed, on the other hand, might be the worst free throw shooter I've seen since Andre Drummond. Jet Howard had 16. He went 4 for 6 from 3. And Dickinson only had 10 points, but he had 15 rebounds and led Michigan in plus-minus. Michigan won 85-77. Next up was Maryland. Maryland beats Michigan 64-58. Michigan absolutely annihilated Maryland at home back in December, 81-46, and it was only that close because Howard put the bench in for most of the second half. It was 44-13 at half, and Michigan at one point was up 36-6, and at that point I hadn't turned the game on, and I thought my phone was malfunctioning. it was like video game scores. Anyway, that made me wonder if Maryland was actually any good, and I had to double-check their out-of-conference schedule. But no, they've had some bad games, but they've had some good ones. That's kind of the Big Ten. Michigan had won 5 straight against Maryland coming in, and they had won 9 of the last 10 in the series. So Maryland really wanted this, and actually both teams need it if they want to go to a tournament. But Maryland got off to a faster start. They were leading by double digits early, not 17-0 like Michigan led them last month, but they were up 21-13 by the second TV timeout. At this point, Maryland was rebounding better. Michigan's inside defense struggled, and Michigan's offense was inconsistent. And it would stay that way the entire night. But Michigan was saved by some good perimeter shooting. Despite Michigan playing sloppy, they were only down by 2 at the half. The second half, Michigan lacked the same rhythm on offense and continued to low scoring. As I mentioned earlier, Doug has struggled down the road this season.
Yeah.
and that continued. Kobe has, even Jets numbers aren't as good on the road as they are at home. And that was the story of this game. Hunter Dickinson, against his most hated rival, had 19 points on 7-11 shooting, 10 rebounds, and was the only Michigan player with a positive plus-minus. For Maryland, Jameer Young had 26 points. He led all scorers. Maryland got its revenge. They won 64-58, and Michigan continued its aggravating trend of winning close games against poor teams and losing close against good teams. And as I say that, they only beat Minnesota by 4.
Yeah.
And this was at Chrysler. Michigan looked like they would rather be anywhere else. They came out of the gate. They were down 10-2. Whether it was the hangover from the Maryland loss or the attitude of its Minnesota, who the hell cares? It wasn't a fun game to watch.
Were you at this one?
No, I was not, and I am glad. Jet, because to make things worse, early on, Jet rolled his ankle, had to be helped off the court. He would return, but he was returning to the bench with the boot on. As awful as, oh, and actually, I believe this, no, yeah, this one was in Chrysler.
Yeah,
somehow Michigan went on the road, was up 17 at the half against Minnesota in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Second half, I think they ended up winning by like 16 because they mostly played bench players in the second half. But at Chrysler, they're down for good portions of the game, and they only won by 4.
That is great. Didn't Minnesota go up like 10-0?
10-2.
10-2. Yeah.
As awful as Michigan's offense was, scoring only 2 points in the first 5 minutes, Minnesota would only score 13 points in the final 15 minutes of the second half. Yeah, it was 23-23 at the half.
Yikes.
And as I just said that. Anyway, Michigan would start to build a large lead, and they would go up by as much as 10 before Minnesota would slowly chip away at it, just frustrating me. Anyway, yada, 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 Michigan wins by 4.
Quick note, Minnesota only playing 4 players. They're 5 starters and then 2 bench guys. One of those bench guys only playing 6 minutes.
You said they played 4 players?
I mean 7, my God. 7 players. The 5 starters and then 2 bench players.
What's Minnesota's record real quick?
7-11. At least when they played Michigan. So that should be 7-12 right now.
Yeah, why are we 7-12? Let's try to figure it out. Oh, all season we've only been playing 4 players. You know you're allowed to have 5 on the court, right? Imagine our record if we play 5.
Coach was like, no, that can't be right.
They probably,
I thought the other team was cheating.
They might have lost another game too, because I'm sure they played one since the Michigan game.
Yeah. Maybe 7-13. I don't know. Well, they lost today to Nebraska. Nebraska or Northwestern. One of those,
teams. NU, they lost to NU.
Who'd they lose to? Northwestern by 20. And Indiana on Wednesday. Okay, so they've had a full week. They are 7-13.
Yeah, they're the worst team in the Big Ten. Bring up the standings really quick. I want you to take a look at them.
I wish this was one of the years Michigan State played them twice, but they only play them once.
They're the outlier of the Big Ten, but on the
everybody wrong side. It's like Purdue up at the top, a whole bunch of teams with like 3 to 5 conference losses, and then Minnesota.
Yeah, and maybe Rutgers might be starting to separate themselves. They're a really good team.
Yeah. So just a quick run through of the Big Ten standings as they stand at 6:30 on January 28th, a Saturday. Purdue leads the conference at 9-1. Right behind them is Rutgers Northwestern at 6-3. Behind them, Illinois and Michigan State at 6-4, then Indiana, Michigan at 5-4. Maryland is 5-5 in the middle. And then after Maryland, you got Penn State at 4-5, along with Iowa, Wisconsin 4-6, Ohio State, bad, 3-6. Nebraska is 3-8. And then Minnesota, if you take Purdue's 9-1 record and flip it, you got Minnesota.
Yeah, Ohio State at one point lost 5 in a row.
Ohio State is a team that I looked at in the preseason and thought Michigan State might only beat them at the Breslin Center. And that still might be true, but I'm looking at that game in Columbus and thinking, like, I keep thinking more and more that that's one that Michigan State should go in and be able to win.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a little ways in advance, and we'll get to Michigan State on the next segment.
I kind of feel vindicated by Wisconsin. I didn't think they were that good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've stumbled.
Yeah.
They were number 18 when Michigan State beat them.
I thought that's what I thought. They were kind of fraudulent there. I mean, they could beat someone.
Yeah.
I mean, they could probably beat anyone in the Big Ten, but maybe not Purdue so easily. But I don't think they might. I could also see them not going to a tournament.
I guess Ohio State.
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin.
I could see Ohio State turning around.
Yeah. Ohio State and Michigan have the same record right now at 11-9. It's just that Ohio State's. Six of their losses, they're 3-6 in the Big Ten, whereas Michigan.
Well, they've lost six of their last seven.
That's the trend. Ohio State was 10-3 at one point. They had a 2-point loss to Purdue to fall to 10-4, and you're probably feeling pretty good at that point. But yeah, since then, a bunch of bad losses, including the lone Big Ten victory for Maryland or Minnesota. Too many empty. No more conferences in basketball. Everybody just play independent schedules.
Purdue came to town as the number one team in the country, and Michigan put maximum effort in this game. And in the first half, they actually led more than they trailed. But Purdue slowly came back. And then once Purdue came back, they quickly built a double-digit lead as Michigan went ice cold, and it was so, so annoying to watch. But the final 2 minutes of the half belonged to Michigan as they cut it to 6. Michigan really missed Jet Howard in this game. There was droughts. That's what really hurt them. And he would be a go-to to cut those droughts or have them not last as long.
Yeah.
But I will give Michigan credit. They gave Purdue a battle. I was not really looking forward to this game when I knew that Jet Howard wouldn't play. But Michigan does match up well with Purdue. Remember, out of nowhere, Michigan blew Purdue out by 24. And it was about this time last year. Michigan saw Purdue's Edie scoring 19 points and raised him a Dickinson scoring 21 of his own. Purdue out-rebounded Michigan, but not by a terrible margin. I think it was 6 rebounds, which is what you would expect. But Michigan only had 6 turnovers to Purdue's 12. But like I said, the ice-cold droughts hurt Michigan, and ultimately Purdue shot 54%, Michigan shot 44%, and Purdue won by 5 points. Yeah. So, yeah, what were you going to say,
John? I was just going to say this is the only matchup in the regular season for Michigan and Purdue, and I think this is a year where you would want to play Purdue twice as a Michigan fan because, like you said, they do match up well with Purdue historically over the last, like, 10 years or mm-hmm. so. And there aren't as many opportunities for big wins as we originally thought in the Big Ten.
Like, oh, I
there's opportunities for good wins.
No, I was down on the conference early. I thought it was.
Well, I thought there would be a lot. I thought, like, you know, at Ohio State, which actually they're not at Ohio State either. Michigan can still get good wins at Wisconsin, at Rutgers, at Illinois or Indiana. But I think hypothetically, I could see them possibly going into Purdue and stealing a game, but not having that opportunity is tough.
It's also tough without Jet Howard, I think.
Yeah. Someone, hypothetically, if Howard was back and it was like a month from now.
I saw some bracketologists talking, and Michigan would have to go 8-3, possibly 7-4. And then if they went 7-4, they'd need 2 Big Ten tournament wins. If they go 8-3, they probably only need 1.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the other thing is the Big Ten doesn't have a lot of terrible teams like Nebraska. Yeah. And
out of all the teams left on Michigan's schedule, Nebraska at home is the only one that, like, if you lose that game, that's a bad loss.
See your point that there's not a lot of
great wins. Like, this is what you build your resume on.
Yeah, but
like there will be opportunity for that in the Big Ten tournament, probably.
But even because the conference isn't bad, it's just so middle heavy.
Yeah,
but let's see if they went.
It is
7-4. That would put them at 12-8 in the Big Ten, or 13-7. I think at that point, I guess that's what they're looking at. And then also, they're not a great KenPom ranking right now, but they really only have to go up 10-20 points. 59, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to get around that 40 mark.
That's where Michigan State is.
Yeah, 41, yeah.
If you just eliminate that bad loss at Notre Dame, that Michigan State.
They lost to Notre Dame?
They got blown out by Notre Dame.
Isn't Notre Dame, like, terrible this year?
Notre Dame poopy trash, in my most professional terms.
Yeah,
157. But no Akins, no Hall in that game. And it was like Michigan State was coming back from Portland and Notre Dame hadn't had to travel anywhere. I didn't expect Michigan State to win that game, but they got blown out. Like that's the game I look at and I'm like, that's Michigan State at their worst.
I saw earlier that Notre Dame and Louisville were playing today. And
oh, Louisville.
A 9-12 Notre Dame team beat a 2-win Louisville team by
I don't want to get too off track about Michigan basketball, but I am thoroughly enjoying the downfall of Louisville basketball.
That's what you get for using more prostitutes than the NCAA allows.
That's right. Stick to your allotted only, prostitute number.
Yeah, only.
And they won't mess with you.
A player to prostitute ratio of 2-1. Louisville went 3-1. Anyway,
they overstepped. Michigan basketball
as a concept. So conceptually, Michigan basketball is a program that has gone to 4 straight Sweet 16s. Is a program that was a Big Ten champs and number one seed 2 years ago. A program that followed up possibly its worst 12-year stretch with its best 12-year period. You know, 99 to 2010 to 2011 to last year. Mm-hmm. So what went wrong? I think a couple of things. First, Diabate and Caleb took their experience and ran, which means they were on the team last year. They were up and down, inconsistent. But then after getting that experience, they left. And Diabate was the less frustrating of the two.
Yeah.
But
sounds like another
that experience does Michigan no good now.
Yeah.
Those minutes would have been better served going to Bufkin and Shedder if you knew what the outcome were going to do.
Cheddar cheese.
And now you have Shedder and Barnes. Isaiah Barnes is getting more minutes since Jet is out. And they're both projects with Shedder looking to be a little bit further along. But neither have won confidence from Howard, who plays Terrence Williams long minutes for some reason. And Terrence Williams, while he has his moments, is I don't know what Howard sees in him. He's a very frustrating and divisive player. From Michigan fans' standpoint. And then Doug McDaniel has shown a lot of promise, but he would be better served splitting minutes with Frankie Collins. And Collins isn't doing great at ASU. I mean, but he looks a tad bit better than Doug. He's a year ahead of him.
Yeah, you also have to – the point guard is especially is a position where that year one to year two leap is substantial.
And I think long term – Doug will be better, have a better sophomore year than Frankie Collins is this year because he's almost caught him.
Yeah.
But it would be kind of nice to have both. Maybe Collins getting more minutes on the road where Doug seems to struggle. But at least I might jinx myself, but at least Doug looks like he's going to stick around, not take the experience and run.
Yeah.
And something that this has shown me is that, the lower end one and duns are not worth it. One and done second rounders don't give you enough while they're there because they're not complete enough players, but they're still good enough to leave after year one. And another thing, another reason this team stinks is they didn't have like the full roster they were expecting to have.
I was going
to
say,
Terrence Shannon. What?
I was going to say, let me tell you about the Chicago kid, Max Christie. Because it was kind of a similar experience. Michigan State.
I would gladly trade Caleb for Max Christie last year, though.
Yeah. Christie, I don't want to hate on him. I just didn't think he was ready to go. But he is getting playing time with the Lakers. So I'm happy. Max, if you're listening to this, and I know you are, I'm happy for you.
Now, next is Terrence Shannon would be perfect on this team. And with President Ono coming into Michigan, hopefully stories like this won't happen again.
Yeah.
But Hunter and Jace were recently asked if they could have an opposing Big Ten team player as a teammate. Who would they choose? And without hesitation, both immediately said Terrence Shannon and then laughed. Like, it was like, you owe me a Coke, jinx.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, and I remember, too, Hunter Dickinson going on Twitter and publicly shaming the university.
Yeah, it's annoying when you're trying to do your job as an athlete.
If you've seen him play, and if you look at his numbers, it's actually kind of amazing that Illinois is only 5-4, projected as a 9 seed right now. It just shows you how much they lost from last year's team because he's a baller, and I would love to have him as a Wolverine. And another reason why Michigan's where they at is look at last year's starting five and look at this year's. They lost their point guard. They lost Eli Brooks,
who had been there forever.
Yeah, Staples. Who was their wing? Oh, they lost Caleb Houston. They lost Diabate. That's four right there, major contributors. Yeah. And then you look at who they're starting now. Doug and Jet are freshmen. And then Kobe Bufkin is actually younger than them and only got limited minutes last year because he had Eli Brooks and Caleb and a bunch of other wings out there. But, yeah, in some ways, maybe we shouldn't be surprised they are where they are, but that explains it. Wow. I am amazed at how much information in here. But some quick hits. Michigan hired Kirk Campbell, QB coach, a former analyst, as their new QB coach. He's worked closely with Michigan's quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. Tad Hammond, an Ohio defensive tackle, a 3 or 4 star, depending on your service, out of Ohio, committed to Michigan. So Michigan continues to pull kids out of Ohio, something they've struggled to do for 15-plus years. And Michigan's hockey seems to be heading in the right direction. They're kind of a bubble team right now. As of this recording, they picked up a good win against Penn State, 7-3. And that's it on my side. On the other side, we can talk Sparty.
We're going to be talking Sparty on the flip. Hey, guys, quick reminder that the Paul Bunyan Podcast is sponsored by Farbar. You can find all of his products at far-ebar.com.
Yep, they have the flyest stuff. And don't we have a promo code?
Bunyan. I think we do. I'll have to confirm that. But yeah, right, hypothetically, maybe while you're there, try throwing in promo words like Bunyan, PBP, Podcast, Joe, Mike, and just see if that gets anything knocked off. But no promises.
We got down, we got dirty, and we got some swag from Farbar.
Michigan State basketball currently stands at 14-7, 6-4 in the Big Ten. Since last we spoke with each other on this Paul Bunyan podcast, Michigan State has gone 2-2, including maybe their most frustrating loss at home against the highly ranked Big Ten leading Purdue Boilermakers. And that is where we lead off with this segment. Purdue came to East Lansing. Michigan State was coming off of a disappointing Friday night loss at Illinois. And this is kind of a unique situation because Michigan State, the Big Ten, before they signed that deal with Fox, you would never see them on Fridays or Mondays once conference play started. You might catch that in the non-conference, but never. So now it's not that irregular to see your team play on a Monday or a Friday.
And that was a Martin Luther King.
That's right. 2 o'clock on a Monday, they tipped off against No. 3 Purdue at the time. And let me just tell you, like, this was an exciting game. It was a classic, but damn if it wasn't the most frustrating thing I've ever seen. First of all, how does a big man play 36 minutes in the Big Ten game and have zero personal fouls in a physical game? You're really telling me Zach Edey has the ability to play 36 minutes without fouling? Go F yourself.
He is pretty soft.
Yeah, he's a... He's not Isaac Haas. I'll give him that. Man, I hated that piece of crap.
I'm telling you, what's Purdue's court arena name?
The court Mackey.
Yeah, he has a Dr. Frankenstein style thing.
He really does.
Matt Painter, and he creates these.
The last year Purdue didn't have a giant lunk, just unreasonably tall at the center position? Because before Zach Edey, they had the hairdo Matt Harms. Before Harms, they had Isaac Haas. Before Haas, they had Swanigan and Hammond. And Hammond, I know, started playing in 2012 or 13. I can't really go that far back.
Even before Painter, you know, Gene Keady, he was a lunk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so his entire tenure. So we're going back to like the 60s.
Yeah. This was a frustrating game for multiple reasons. Michigan State got off to a slow start. I believe Purdue led by double digits for most of the first half. And I was pretty much ready to write the game off. But Michigan State, man, they fought like hell. They got it back to within 2 at halftime and actually had a chance to take the lead at halftime because they forced a turnover. And it wasn't a great shot, but Hogard had a shot to make a 3-pointer right before the half. It didn't go in. But I was like, okay, considering where this game was, I was so happy to be down by 2. And the second half was very entertaining. Tyson Walker finished with 13 points. He was stuck on automatic for a while. You got good minutes from Carson Cooper, a freshman. Unfortunately, Mati Sissoko, 0 points. 8 rebounds is pretty good, but 0 points in 22 minutes, can't have it. I'm not going to blame the refs for this loss because there were a lot of reasons Michigan State lost this game. 6 of 19 from three is just not going to cut it at home. You're going to need to shoot a lot better than 31%. And Tyson Walker shot 4 of 8. So you take away Tyson Walker and the rest of the team was 2 of 11, quick maths. That's less than 20%. That's bad. A.J. Hogard has been a solid free throw shooter all year. Went to the line late in the second half and missed both of them. Both of them. He missed both of them. That hurt because Hogard was having a good game. And you know what I always say about A.J. Hogard is he got that dog in him. So I hate to see him step up to the line in a big moment as probably the unquestioned leader of the team and miss him.
What would have happened if he would have made them?
I mean,
what would the score be?
65-64, Michigan State wins.
But neither of you get to 69, so you're kind of both losers.
That's right. First team to score 420 points.
Oh, man.
Winner. I said that at the 4-minute, 20-second mark of this segment. Let it be known.
How's Minnesota going to do it with only 4 players?
They at least have to score 100 and wait.
And play how many minutes? 105 points.
Anyways, I was pleased with Michigan State's fight in this game. But I have to acknowledge, and again, I'm not blaming this loss on the refs, but there were a lot of moments where the refs played a part. Particularly, Mati Sissoko got into foul trouble early in the first half. And Zach Edey picked him up by the arm and threw him, and they called a foul on Sissoko. Because you know what I mentioned? Zach Edey had 0 fouls called on him in over 30 minutes of play, which is impossible. I don't care what position you're playing. That shouldn't happen.
Oh, my God. 17 rebounds and 32 points in 36 minutes and 0 fouls, as you said.
Second to last possession from Purdue, Tyson Walker doesn't even fight through a screen. He just gets by a screen, and they call a foul on Tyson Walker. Purdue goes to the line, hits 2. Of course, it was Fletcher Lawyer, younger brother of Foster Lawyer. I don't hate Foster Lawyer, but if he was the same size as Fletcher Lawyer, he'd be a lot better than he was at Michigan State. And also, their dad was a horrible interim coach for the Pistons. Most people don't even remember that he was a coach for the Pistons because the Pistons have been so bad for so long. But I just hate the Lawyer family because Fletcher Lawyer scored 17 points against Michigan State. Foster Lawyer is playing at Davidson. but it was just a weak-ass call, a weak-ass foul in such a tight spot. And then right before that, Purdue only had the ball because the ball gets knocked out of bounds. They were very quick to call it out off of Michigan State. And they go to the monitor. They review it because it was under 2 minutes. Couldn't overturn it, but they also couldn't really say it was off of Michigan State. So they went to the jump ball and gave it to Purdue. It was Purdue's jump ball. But they were so quick to call that out off of Michigan State when – if they had called that out off of Purdue, I think there was more evidence to keep it Michigan State's ball than there was to keep it Purdue's ball, the way they had called it. And they couldn't tell who it was off of, so they just went to the jump ball monitor. But it was so frustrating. Michigan State, though, despite all that, still had a shot to win. Also, I didn't mention Tyson Walker had 2 shots that initially looked like 3-pointers, but then after review, you zoom in, and his toe was just barely on the line. So he could have scored 32 points, instead had 30. Again, that's 2 points taken off of Michigan State. They still had a chance to win it. They got the ball back with 2 seconds left and down by one. They just Tyson Walker got a shot off. It wasn't a good shot, but that's who you want taking the shot in that moment. And I like this team a lot, Michigan State. But that's the third quad one win that they, I think, should have had, and they let it slip. You go back to playing Purdue out on the ocean. Gonzaga, second game of the year. Michigan State had a double-digit lead in the second half. They lost that game. That's going back a ways, and if they play today, who knows what happens. But
if you think that's bad, try coughing up five quad one wins like right. Michigan. No, has.
I know I'm preaching to the choir here.
Also, why didn't you tell me that Fletcher Lawyer was 6'4"? I was happy when he chose Purdue over Michigan. No one told me he was good.
Because you thought he was just going to be Foster.
Yeah, I'm like, stay away. No.
No, I wanted Fletcher Lawyer so bad at Michigan State.
I didn't. I was scared. It's like being a Knicks fan and hearing that Isaiah Thomas is going to become the janitor. You're like, no, stay away from this organization.
And then the game right before that at Illinois might have been might still be a quad one win today, and that was a game where Michigan State had a 9-point lead in the second half and couldn't come away with the victory. So you just look at those three games. If Michigan State has one of those wins, Gonzaga at Illinois or Purdue, it just helps the seeding and the potential matchups in March so much more. And their resume takes such a boost. Like winning one of those games or two of those games offsets the bad loss to Notre Dame. I mean, it doesn't eliminate it. Looking at the
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to distract you, but I'm looking at Fletcher Lawyer's committed tweet, and you got a tipped in edit, you know, Photoshop picture with Matt Painter, you know, and his big ugly mug sitting right behind Fletcher Lawyer, and he looks like he's like sniffing his shoulder or something with his arms crossed. Anyways, he's go
mad.
On, Joe.
He's mad. it would soften the blow of that bad Notre Dame loss, but I mean, you can't let that one slip at home. Opportunities to win it, you got to take them. Can't have Pierre Brooks play 12 minutes and not score. Can't have Mati Sissoko play 22 minutes and not score. They were just too reliant on Tyson Walker making shots late, which he did. He made a lot of shots. But this is a team that has gotten to where it is because it doesn't rely on one guy, because you don't know if it's going to come from Walker or Hauser or Hogard. And if Malik Hall plays in this game, we don't know what happens, but he wasn't available. He didn't play. So no excuses there. Following that up, Rutgers comes to town, and this was another kind of frustrating game, at least to start, because it was, again, Michigan State fell behind big early. They were down 14-5, which, you know, 9 points isn't a whole lot, but at home, coming off of an emotional loss to a top five team, I was disappointed with the way Michigan State came out the gate. But again, finished the half strong. They actually led by, I think, 6 at halftime. Yeah, 36-30 at half. And then they came out, they played even better in the second half, outscoring them by 7. This was a game where Rutgers came in ranked for, I believe, the first time all season. They were number 23. Michigan State beat them by 13 behind, who was the leading scorer? 16 from Hogard, 13 from Hauser, 12 from Walker, 12 from Jackson Kohler getting his first career double-double. I was really happy to see that. But 11 from Akins. Like, again, that's a game where it's not like it was against Purdue, where Walker had 30, Hogard had 14, Hauser had 10, and then everybody else just kind of didn't really pitch in much scoring. This game was so much more evenly dispersed, and the team shot 12 of 22 from three, a far cry from what they did.
5 players in double digits.
Yeah. And a lot of players contributed. Like, Pierre Brooks scored for the first time in a while. I was happy to see that. Efficient shooting. Only 7 free throws for Michigan State. That sucks, because this is a good free throw shooting team. They need to be getting to the line a lot more. But beating Rutgers, a tough Rutgers team that's won at Purdue and came in ranked, I'm very pleased with that win. Especially when you watch the film, Rutgers might have out-toughed Michigan State. Or as Scott Frost said, they might have out-hit them despite losing by double digits. Michigan State's going to be playing Rutgers on Saturday at Madison Square Garden. That's going to be a tough game that I will be so thrilled if Michigan State wins, especially because they don't have great luck at Madison Square Garden. But moving on, Michigan State did not build on that nice win. They followed that up with an absolute stinker in Bloomington, which sucks because I hate Indiana basketball. And
I didn't know you hated Indiana basketball.
Hey, Indiana, Wisconsin, Purdue, Michigan, Duke, UConn, Butler, Louisville, even though Michigan State's had better success against Louisville than those other programs. North Carolina,
Missouri, Colorado State, San Jose right. State. They think they're the real Spartans.
College of Charleston,
Portland.
Portland. Oh, their coach.
Western Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky.
No, I like the Hilltoppers.
Of Kentucky, Kentucky Eastern, Central Connecticut,
Maryland Eastern Shores, Middle Tennessee State. Don't get me started.
Oh, what was the team last year? I think the coach is now at Seton Hall. That made
oh like the Peacocks.
Little, yeah, what were
no? I like him.
No. What was the college name?
I don't remember.
Because you know me, I'm a college basketball and football fanatic, and that was a team. That was a college I actually haven't heard of.
They beat Purdue in the Sweet 16. Yes. No, I like them.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying. They were so obscure that I actually didn't know about them.
Yeah.
Because I remember telling you how much better the Western Kentucky football program is than the Eastern Kentucky program. And so that just shows you how inside I am. But now it's bothering me. All right, you can talk about Michigan State. I'm looking this up.
Okay, I think they were the Peacocks or the Ostriches. One of those birds.
I watch good shows on Peacock.
Michigan State, Indiana.
No, not
this game just sucked. Michigan State came out playing pretty well on the road, and I actually thought they were going to win it. But they didn't put their foot on the pedal. They didn't step on Indiana's throat like they could have. They had held Indiana to 8 points for a long time in the first half, but they never had a lead bigger than 9, despite Indiana not being able to make it. So Indiana hung around enough. They started making shots. Everybody got hot, and all of a sudden, what was a 9-point lead turned into what was it at halftime? A 5-point deficit, and it looked really bad. And this was a game where Tyson Walker wasn't 100%. He was sick. A.J. Hogard picked up his second foul in the first half very early, and that was really where things changed. And a lot of people were upset with Tom Izzo's decision to sit him with 2 fouls and not put him back in the game. I understand it. Like, that's what Izzo's always done. But situationally, when you see the team struggling like that without Hogard on the court, on both ends of the court, the game was still kind of in play. Like, a couple good minutes from Hogard, if he doesn't pick up that third foul, maybe you're tied at halftime. But even still, Michigan State came out and they retook the lead in the second half and still lost by 13. 31 points to Trace Jackson Davis and 15 rebounds. He should have been a Spartan. He's a dumbass for going to Indiana. Sorry, but, like, why would you go to Indiana? They haven't been good in 20 years. I don't care that they won 2 phony Big Ten titles under Tom Crean. They suck.
Dwight Schrute from The Office, actually.
They've been to the second weekend of March once in my, as far as I can remember, as a 1 seed, and then they lost to Syracuse in 2013.
Yep, I remember that game. And Michigan, I think, beat
Syracuse in the Final Four.
St. Peter's Peacocks. Out of the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference.
Yeah.
I know St. Joe's. I know St. John's. I never knew St. Peter's.
You don't know the MAC that well?
No, I there's some team. There's a team from there that I'm familiar with. Iona, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Siena too. There's also these two schools. Oh shoot. Go back.
Oh yeah, the Stags of Fairfield.
Quinnipiac and then the Canisius.
Kansas. That's Winston. Where John Beilein came from.
Yep.
Cassius Winston.
Yeah, Kansas Winston.
Kansas.
It's Winston. The off brand. It's the store brand. It's Kansas Winston.
Wissington.
Yeah.
This was a bad loss for Michigan State. Not because of who they lost to, because I think Indiana and Michigan State are kind of even on footing. So it's one of those games where you expect to beat them at home. You expect to lose at their place. They just got out-toughed, out-worked, just outdone in every single way, and it was frustrating. And
Ken Pom actually really likes Indiana.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, they like that. Illinois more than I would expect, too.
I'd have to talk to Ken about that one. but just a quick shout at Michigan State fans. Not a shout-out to Michigan State fans, but more of like a shout at Michigan State fans. Can we not complain about the lack of a transfer portal addition after every single loss this year? Like, we all wanted a big man out of the transfer portal. Yes, we all acknowledge that. And we were all super happy the first month of the year that we didn't have a big man out of the portal. And now we're back to disliking it. Can we just not do it after every loss?
You want a big man? Best I can do is Jalen Llewellyn.
Like, you can't convince me that there's one guy Michigan State could have gotten out of the portal that actually would be making a difference. Because I saw the guys that they brought in for a visit. Like, Tom Izzo does not cast a wide net, especially when it comes to transfers. Like, he looks for a specific type of player. He's not just going to add somebody to the roster because they're available. The guy wasn't there at the right time. I think they were mainly looking at wing players, Micah Parrish out of Oakland, and then Bridges out of West Virginia.
Oh, I wanted him on Michigan.
Yeah, and they just didn't commit. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Those are the two guys Izzo looked at. They didn't want to come to Michigan State. So be it. But just stop it. Like, this is the roster that Michigan State has. And you know what? The guys know their roles. The roles on this team have been clearly defined almost from the beginning, and that's super rare for a Tom Izzo team. Usually at this point, guys are still figuring out who's the go-to guy, who's the leader, who's going to be playing these minutes. This team has well-defined roles throughout, where like when guys like Jackson Kohler and Carson Cooper come off the bench, they know what they're supposed to do, and they do it pretty well, especially considering they're both freshmen. Mati Sissoko, like, no, he's not going to be what he was against Gonzaga and Kentucky every time. But we know that he has that potential, and he did play better against Iowa, who I know hasn't played defense in 20 years. But it's so frustrating that there's a good section of Michigan State fans that after every single loss won't look at any other reason that they might have lost the game aside from Tom Izzo didn't go out and get somebody from the transfer portal. Like, there are this team would be undefeated if Tom Izzo had gone out and gotten any random player from the transfer portal. Like, that's a real convincing argument, guys. The issues with this team are that Malik Hall hasn't been healthy, but he's coming back. He's missed a lot of games, but he played Thursday night against Iowa and made a big difference in Michigan State winning that game by two. Tough game. I'll get into that more, but I just had to, after talking about the loss,
You're like, change the freaking record.
It irritates me so much that they don't look past anything else. Like, it's okay to voice some frustrations. Like the guys from the Spartan Hoops podcast, to give them credit, DK and Soulja, they will actually list reasons why Michigan State lost. But they will occasionally – I think DK did it after the Northwestern loss.
Just change the record.
Stepbrothers.
Yeah.
After the Northwestern loss, was upset about Michigan State not getting a guy from the portal, but I don't think he's been as vocal about that recently. Although I've been off Twitter. Like,
probably a good decision.
And you have to know that there are reasons these guys are in the transfer portal. And Tom Izzo, when he needs to, will use the transfer portal. How do you think Tyson Walker got on the team? Tom Izzo used the transfer portal because he didn't like the point guard situation. So I'm fed up with it. I'm very frustrated. I actually like Michigan State's roster the way it is. I don't know. Like, maybe having Micah Parrish would have made a difference because at least based on his Oakland tape, he looked like a solid defender on the wing. And that's what Michigan State's been missing with Malik Hall being out, is Tyson Walker and Malik Hall are Michigan State's best two-way players, offense, defense. Without Hall, a lot of the defensive responsibility goes to Walker. And long story short, it's going to be a boost that Malik Hall is back. And I see a lot of reason to be excited for this team's future. And then, go ahead.
How about Afton Reed? Would you have liked him?
I honestly don't even know who that is.
Okay. He was on LSU. Now he's with Gonzaga.
Okay.
Oh, his stats are not anything to like get excited about, but he also might be on the bench.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a center playing behind Timmy.
Yeah, I thought they might have done the Twin Tower type thing.
Yeah,
on occasion.
I don't even know if Michigan State went after him.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, like, just because somebody, I think I saw he was like 7 foot or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because somebody has size and length that doesn't mean they can play.
No, he had, like, a lot of hype coming out of high school. Yeah. He's like the number 27.
I think I remember hearing his name a lot.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned
he that. He had a little bit better numbers, though not as efficient at LSU. But he's playing 5.5 minutes versus his freshman year, he was playing 20 yeah. minutes.
But guys, there's a specific style of player that Tom Izzo goes after. Like, just because somebody's in the portal and hypothetically fits what you might think is a need doesn't mean Michigan State is obligated to go after him. Like, chances are Tom Izzo or somebody on Michigan State's coaching staff looked at the tape and either liked or disliked what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are guys doing their homework on this shit. So don't assume you know more than Tom Izzo or his coaches, because I could guarantee you don't. So getting away from that, I'll get off my soapbox or whatever.
Breaking news, Portland's up on Gonzaga 2-0.
2-0. That would be a boost for Michigan State if Portland could start bringing in some big wins.
I was going to say, weren't those two common opponent?
Michigan State's played both.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if they played Portland or Portland State. I know.
Yeah, they played Portland in the PK-80. But the Iowa game at Breslin Center, solid win for Michigan State. Tough one. Again, even scoring. Hauser with 11 and 6 rebounds. Like I said, Sissoko with a double-double. I'm so happy to see that. He had a lot of plays where he got an offensive rebound and just slammed it. And you could tell he was letting out some frustration there. 11 for Malik Hall in his return. And he played 25 minutes. That's surprising. It's just a boost to have Malik Hall back, because when he went down at Illinois, there were rumors that it could have been a really bad sprain, that he might be done for the year. So for him to be back less than 2 weeks after that, that's a huge blessing for Michigan State. Hashtag blessed. Akins had his third straight game scoring in double digits. He had 12 points to lead all scores. But like I said, Akins was the leading scorer with 12, but Hauser and Hall had 11. Walker and Sissoko had 10. Hogard had 7. And again, disappointed to see A.J. Hogard miss free throws in a key situation late. Missed the front end of a one-on-one. That was his only free throw attempt of the night. And that led to Iowa having a shot to win it. They didn't make it. So no harm, no foul. But I did see A.J. Hogard out on the court after the game shooting free throws again. So I hope he can get that squared up, because he is a good free throw shooter. He has improved greatly. And just there's reason for optimism, guys. After this next stretch of games, they're at Purdue and then basically – a road game against Rutgers, but they're playing they actually dodge a bullet by not having to go to the rack, because they've lost by 30 there the last 2 years. So maybe playing Rutgers at Madison Square Garden.
You said they have bad
luck. But yeah, too. Going back to the 2014 season, Michigan State lost a bad game to Georgetown that year. They lost the Elite Eight game to UConn that year. Lost to Michigan in the Big Ten tournament there. Lost to Kansas there last year. Like, it's just been bad luck for them. But maybe they can shake that off.
That's what my girl T. Swift says.
After they get past that stretch of games, they just have the schedule just lightens up a lot. And if they can stay healthy and Malik Hall can get back into action, I can see this team winning 20 games in the regular season, which is if Michigan State gets to 20 wins before the Big Ten tournament, I could see them being as high as a 5 seed and probably no lower than a 7 seed with their strength of schedule. I know KenPom doesn't really like them that much, but usually, aside from 2021 when they made them play in the first 4 game against UCLA, usually the selection committee gives Michigan State credit. So yeah, if Michigan State can go 1-1 in this next stretch at Purdue and then versus Rutgers, I'll be very happy. But after that, schedule lightens up. You got home against Maryland, at Ohio State, who I mentioned is sliding, versus Minnesota, horrible team, only 4 players on the court. At Michigan, that's a rivalry game, versus Indiana, F them. And then you look at it, and it's like, really, like, at Ohio State, at Michigan, at Iowa are probably the most difficult games left, because then you're at Nebraska, home against Ohio State. And I'm using up most of my time, but there's reason for optimism here. There's reason for excitement. I know it's been an up and down season, but this team does have the tools to make it interesting at the end of the season and into March. Quickly, Marco Coleman left the Michigan State program to go coach the D-line at Georgia Tech. Mel Tucker hired Deron Reynolds as the Michigan State defensive line coach. He comes over from Stanford and has coached a lot of other places, but we'll talk about him come football season. I don't know. This was the Paul Bunyan podcast.
Follow us on social media. We're on all of them except for TikTok. You can email us at thepaulbunyanpod@gmail.com. Is that right? Let me bring it up. No, thepaulbunyanpodcast@gmail.com.
Maybe if just we got Adrian clear. Nunez on the show, we could be on TikTok.
He knows what he's doing. We got down, we got up, we got funky, and we got bad.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.